You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are talking about some of the news, some of the injustice, and a lot of things that are going on in soccer. You know, so, you know, maybe let's look up Alexander Katai's wife's Instagram and see if anything comes up.
Let's not do that. But also, we talked to CJ Sapong, who I promise you has a lot to say. You got to listen to this, that and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger, and you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Yes! Let's go! Let us go.
Let us go. Get your hands off.
Set me free.
Yo.
Because it has been crazy the last couple days. I mean, whether it comes to protests, whether it's COVID, whether it's wild-ass cops, television, the world is just stressful.
The government gassing its own people to get a photo out, whatever. I mean, the emotional roller coaster of these last 3 months.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster that keeps going down.
Yeah, that's really. Yeah. At what point are we going to do the loop? What do we need a loop?
Okay, we gotta head back up at some point.
Oh my God.
No, hello everyone. Welcome to the Cooligans. Hi, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that is available to you in the world.
That's right, but it's not just that. It also is the gulliest.
Okay. Scrat. And this today's episode is going to be exactly that. It is quite on brand.
Oh, this one, this shirt, this episode deserves a gulliest shirt. I think it earned it, dude.
Okay, just put it right there on the camera. Yeah.
I can't see the show. You don't need to. You experiencing it through gully vision.
Okay, yeah, those are like the glasses you find in the back of comic books. The
We all know that reference, Christian. Unless it was in the back of a cereal box, I didn't get it.
So hello everyone. Like I said, man, it's been stressful. It feels like a lot is changing in the world, and for very much good reason.
Since the last episode, a city has agreed to disband its police department. Okay, the world is literally changing in front of our eyes. On a week-to-week basis.
We have to be, you know, excited and happy about some of the changes. And also, you know, think about a lot of people are sacrificing a lot. There's been injury. There's been deaths amongst people fighting for this change. And a lot is, you know, a lot of the people fighting for that change are in the soccer community as well. And we talked about it last time. And also, thank you to a lot of people. We got a lot of messages from people that appreciated the show that we did, talking about police brutality and the injustices and the murder of George Floyd, and it was very motivating for me to feel like that we were helping some people with the conversation that we had.
It's difficult for us, you know. These are conversations we've had, like, yo, what do we do in these situations? Even going back to when we first started and, you know, there was a racist abuse during soccer games and stuff like that. It's like, is it our place to talk about it as a show that, you know, sort of pertains to be comedy, you know what I mean? And I want to thank the fans that have reached out, because we always walk a sort of a cautious line when it comes to trying to be funny in light of very serious topics. And honestly, it's our mental health issue that we make everything funny. It's really what makes us comedians. Something bad happens. Like, you know, a mutual friend of ours is going through a divorce. My first thought is, well, now you got an hour's worth of material. You know what I mean? Like, that's a comedian.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well, look at that. Now you got less work to do and no one to bother you, because you're going to be alone. You know?
I mean, some people are just blessed with these kind of gifts.
Well, aren't we lucky? Divorce. It's like, you know, that sort of our first, as you can see here, our first instinct is to try to be funny. And in some situations, we're very cautious about like, yo, should we even try? Like, how do we do that? And I'd like to congratulate you, Christian. Congratulations back to me. Thank you. But I think you've done an incredible job of mitigating that. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Was that a compliment? I'm not really sure.
I thought we were going to compliment each other, and you were just like, uh-huh, no, I'm good. What about you, Alexis? You got work to do, my guy.
I don't know what. Mitigating what? I don't know. Okay, sure.
Like figuring that out. You know, that's a difficult line to tread.
Yes. Likewise, Alexis.
I don't think it is
in our nature at this point to not ever have a strictly serious conversation. So I think it's helpful for some people. And yeah, we're excited because CJ Sapong is on the show tonight, and we get to have we get to continue that conversation with a player who is very much on the forefront of trying to instill change and get that message across. So I'm excited to talk to him today. So we should address a couple of things that are going on just in the news in the soccer world, and really one of the big ones was obviously Alexander Katai, LA Galaxy, removed. He was released from the team after his wife posted trash, you know, posted
atrocious messages. Yeah.
Yes. On her Instagram, and people were one LA Galaxy fans. Everybody was upset. And shout out to Galaxy fans because they were immediate in like get him
off
the team.
Some of them protested at the stadium in front of the Beckham statue saying no racist, get him off the team. I mean, that to me is the solidarity that I expect when it comes to soccer.
Now we just got to make sure we got to keep that Beckham statue there. Do not remove it. I know statues are coming down right now, but
that
he's a good one.
Yeah. Good guy. Beckham is an ally. Beckham stays. But it's beautiful to see. Somebody posted on Twitter, not surprised to hear about this with LA Galaxy because their fans are racist. And at least all the LA Galaxy fans that we follow or that I follow sprung up like, wait, where did you hear? None of them were saying like, that's bullshit. They're like, what did you hear? Let us know. We'll take care of it. We don't mess with racists. And that's exactly what we have to do with soccer fans. We can't allow it. We can't be like, they're allowed to have their opinion. Yeah, you are. On the outside of the stadium. Go over there. Take our shirt off. That's how it should be.
And some people were commenting like, why is he getting in trouble for something his wife said? And that ain't it, fam.
That's not
that
the
ain't
move,
the take.
My guy.
No, you know what? When we talk about, you know, for better or for worse, till death do us part.
Yeah.
You got to take some of the responsibility. And it is very much a, it's not a, like when you know, it's real and shocking when somebody's like, I'm filing for divorce right now.
Yeah.
That's not what Katai did. Because I was like, I cannot believe she said that. It's like the gif of pretends to be shocked. You know?
Yeah, she's exactly. Like, I'm going to have a conversation with her. What do you mean have to have?
No.
Call your lawyer, my dude, if you're really about this.
You need to have a conversation with your attorney. That's what you need to be doing.
Start splitting up the furniture, my dude.
And a lot to be excited about because soccer is coming back across the world. We already got updates for La Liga, which has already started today.
By the time you're watching this,
exactly,
it's so on, baby.
Yeah, and then so they more matches this weekend, which you can watch on Fubo TV if you do not have it. Please do that. okay, coincidentally, and also Premier League will be returning on June 17th. This is the weird part of all this. Great news, love that we're getting soccer back across the world. What's frustrating as an American soccer fan, and just as an American, it is frustrating that a lot of these countries were so hard hit by coronavirus, where you were like, their businesses, everything's going to be out of commission for months. And Americans were like, wow, Bummer what's going on in Spain and Italy, huh?
Weird what's happening out there. We're good, though.
And look at this. And now our soccer is coming back after theirs, which I would have never believed after seeing, you know, some of the stuff that was in the news.
Yeah. But, I mean, don't forget, we were the epicenter of the disease the pandemic for a hot minute. By the way, pandemic's still going on. So yeah. I wish all, you know, everyone luck coming back. Good luck. The issue
it's
with...
it's hot pandemic summer. Okay. Yeah, don't forget.
Hashtag taken care of. Megan the Stallion is creating a song for it, okay? This pandemic will ravage. But Premier League is coming back. And so we've been talking about, you don't like the fake crowd noise for Bundesliga matches. I don't mind it. FIFA's like, we're going to do the same thing. Not FIFA. Premier League's like, we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to use the FIFA crowd noise. So not only are we going to have a DJ spinning tracks of... No, we're not going to have fans chanting. We're going to have the fake fans chanting from the video game.
Okay, so it's worse than plastic fans. These are pixels.
Digital, yeah. Yo, digital. Binary fans. We should have the button to switch it to the Spanish announcers, and it's the two guys from the video game.
I think they should remove the fans from the actual video game to make it feel like real life.
That would be amazing. Empty stadium. You hear the players going like, yo, that hurt.
Okay. All right. We'll be back because we have CJ Sapong of the Chicago Fire joining us. And we're going to have a great conversation with him. So we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the show so far. We just want to give you a word from... This isn't really a sponsor, but this is a great place to donate, I think, in light of everything that's happening.
Yeah, there's... a lot of people have just kind of wondered what they can do to help and how to support with either the protests or talking about police reform or just getting more informed or anything like that. There's a bunch of people doing great work kind of compiling all that information. And one of them that was really, really great was a link. It's called blacklivesmatters.card.co.
With two R's in card.
Correct. And Black Lives Matters. .card with two R's .co. And if you go to our Twitter page, just at Soccer Cooligans, it's our pinned tweet. You can click on it. You can see.
It's a big resource. It tells you like a lot of different places you can sign petitions, how to text who and how to text or call, where to donate, even more resources.
Exactly. And even information for if you're a protester, what to bring with you, what best practices, how to stay safe. There's a lot of information there. That I found super useful. There's also another link. If you just look at that thread, there's a link called secure.actblue.com, which is if you want to donate. Some people don't know who to donate to. There's a lot of there's just a lot of places that you can help support, and it could be overwhelming or confusing.
You don't know how much to give who. You know,
you don't even know if it's real, right? That's been another like concern. But this is another. A great opportunity if you do want to donate. Like you can donate to, you basically make one donation and it splits it amongst about like 10 different groups. Like,
so I'll read them. It's Black Lives Matter Global Network, Reclaim the Block, National Bailout, Black Visions Collective, NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, the National Police Accountability Project, Color of Change Education Fund, Unicorn Riot, Campaign Zero, Advancement Project, and the Marshall Project. So one donation to act to secure actblue.com/donate/AB_MN, which again you could just click on it if you go to our social media, but one if you go to our Twitter, I should say, if you one donation will split that up amongst all of those different groups, so you'll be able to support the entire lot in one chunk, which is absolutely amazing.
Exactly. So please do that. If I know a lot of people are not in a place to be able to donate, but this is why looking at that resource from the card.co link, there's other things that you can do. And it's not, if you don't have money at the moment, there's other ways you can help. So I encourage everybody to check that out. All we can say is thank you for listening to the show, for supporting, for protesting, for fighting for what is right and trying to initiate real change in the world. So we appreciate you. With that said, let's get back to the show.
That's right, baby. We're back on the Cooligans. Our guest is here. I am so excited. I remember seeing this dude play for a while back when he was in Philly, but I really got to get a sense of his personality a little bit when he did a video for a mutual friend that we have, Ibun, over at Live Brief Football, for the Maestro jacket. And I was like, yo, this dude seems chill as hell. How do I not know anything about him? You know what I mean? And now I'm finally we get to talk. And we got a lot to talk about.
There's a lot, yeah. There's a lot going on.
A lot of things happening that need to be brought up. but I'm excited. Playing with the Chicago Fire right now. I'm assuming he's excited to get back to that. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, your Chicago Fire own... CJ Sapong, everybody.
CJ, what's good?
What's good? What's good? Thanks for that intro, man. I felt like I was on the field.
Come on, I got you, dog.
I think he just announced you into a boxing match. Yeah. Yeah. You're about to get going.
Playing, fighting out of the left corner.
CJ, dude, thank you so much for joining us, man. And you know, I've been watching you the last couple days doing the rounds, man. You're on a lot of different podcasts, a lot of different shows. You're on Instagram Live, really spreading the message and doing a lot of positive things. So there's a lot to talk about because I do want to get to know you, and I want our viewers to get to know you a little bit better. But how are you? How are you feeling right now, especially after kind of doing that work and putting more effort into letting, I'm just going to say, like, letting white people know how they can be allies.
Yeah, honestly, I feel great. I feel motivated after a very tough 3 months, basically, of quarantine. And then the last 2 weeks with CBA stuff. I'm a player rep for my team, so I was filtering the information. And then obviously the social injustice, that was kind of like the cherry on top. And after some, dark nights of the soul and kind of cleansing and healing and understanding how much of myself I have suppressed up until this moment, that's a wild existential crossroads to come to, especially in my individual experience where I meditate, I do yoga, I unplug and give time to myself, and to finally be in a position where you can speak freely and allow people to know the depth of the frustration and the unfairness. I mean, all Black people are experts in this, So I'm getting on these podcasts and I definitely am humbled by people resonating with what I'm saying. People said really great things about how, I articulate myself. I do remind them though, that's because I'm well-versed in the atrocities of, social injustice in this country. But going off of that, I feel very motivated because now we can ask, we can discuss, and we can move forward. And through my experience, mostly working with Sacred Seeds, nonprofit, sustainable agriculture based in urban areas, i.e. food deserts. So I've seen the impact the socioeconomic structure has had on minority people in general. So yeah. I'm like, bet. Shoot, the note's right behind me, y'all. Yeah, zoom in, like, let's go. Oh, you wanna help now? I could call you out, but I'm gonna let that go. I'm gonna let that heal. I'm gonna show some compassion, and I'm gonna welcome you with open arms and see where we can take this.
That's great, because a lot of people have been talking about the emotional labor required. Like, it all happened at once, and my girlfriend is white. Talking to her family members, and then a little bit of it is like, yo, I can't handle this all at once. I can't handle all your guilt at the same time, So
it's not your responsibility to fix it all.
I need a break a little bit.
It's crazy. And here's something else also, and I think this is something that you and I have in common. Your girl and also your mother are both nurses. My wife is a nurse. The emotional sort of strain that the COVID-19 crisis brought about, especially not just people who are nurses and obviously working in healthcare and essential workers, but being there every day and seeing that and sort of the added stress on us to not want to make other people sick in case we got sick and so on and so forth. And then to add on top of that, all the social injustice that has been brought out finally. And it's amazing to me that you're doing things with, urban development for food, because I grew up in an area that was very much a food desert. I grew up in Newark, New Jersey. So I saw that firsthand. You know, if we wanted food, we went to a bodega and I was like, yeah, I got food. I got mac and cheese. And they warmed it up for me for an extra 50 cents. What are you talking about? I'm going to be fine.
Flaming hot Cheetos.
Right? Exactly. Oh, you could throw the Flaming Hot Cheetos in the mac and cheese. And I don't know if you know that. That's low-key pretty great with a little bit of the Chinese food hot sauce. Let's go. Okay. Anybody want to know why I got high blood pressure? Oye, coño, I'm going to show you. But to see the things you're doing, how important has it been to sort of have those things such as yoga and meditation and all those things I don't do, but how important is it for you to take a moment and be like, because like Christian fighting off an entire family on his own, like how important has that been for you to sort of recenter yourself and recharge? Because yo, burnout is real.
It's very real, and it's been my savior. The thing about meditation, yoga, all these alternative modalities, right, they all have a basic principle that is rooted in connecting to all the energy that's around you. The way we live our lives, we're very disconnected from that. We're worried about a lot of external things. So just like you mentioned, I had to, for a whole month, I had to get up every day texting my now fiance and my mother, wishing them the best in their day at work, telling them I love them. Then that night, go through that whole day, knowing that they're literally interacting with people that have this disease that's running rampant in this country.
With no PPE, might I add. My wife gave the same fucking mask. I shouldn't be cursing, but the same fucking mask for an entire week. And they told her, put it in a Ziploc bag. My sandwich and her mask ain't the same damn thing.
At my mom's job, I mean, she might get a little upset if I say it, but call it out. Like, they were locking the masks up. You had to like get permission and clearance to even get a mask. Like, and I applauded my mom. Like, she, the strength she showed was another bit of inspiration and a bout of energy that I got, because I mean, she's the one who got all her coworkers PPE. You know, she took a stand, and the powers that be in that hospital system, who might have been thinking more about the numbers and the digits, changed up. And that gave me, you know, motivation. And, you know, when I interlay that with my energetic practices, right, every day, just, I mean, through meditation and yoga, I get visions of the purest moments in my life, you know, the moments when I felt true bliss, true happiness, and repeating that, because it, I mean, there's also science that backs what you become your thoughts. The more you repeat the same thoughts, the same energy, that's what comes into your existence. You know, so it's not easy by any means, but I've felt the effect, because if I did not have that, I'm scared to wonder where I would be mentally right now. Yeah.
It's just frustrating. Flag. It's just frustrating to see that comparison of like this not having enough PPE and finding all the excuses to not, like, you know, be responsible for that duty. But when police need riot gear and everything ready, that's available at a moment's notice, you know?
Yeah, no, let's check my wife's bag on her way out of the hospital, make sure she's not stealing a mask to protect herself on the subway. But also, here's a tank for the police department. No questions asked. Now, CJ, we were talking a little bit about just sort of everything that's happening in the world, everything that's happened in the last 3 months. A lot of what Christian and I, like when we started this, we started as a podcast, now it's a television show, but when we started, we noticed soccer was mad white in America. You know what I mean? And I was like, how could two Latinos change this? How could we help change this? You being a dude, I guess Manassas, right? Is that considered the DC area?
Mm, if you live around there, not really, but if you're not from there,
yeah, because to us, like, it's like, it seems like the closest big city to it, but just being someone who plays in American soccer and happens to not be white, but happens to be from America, not someone that got brought in from a league outside of America, what have you sort of, have players reached out, have clubs reached out, has league officials reached out to sort of, to ask you how you're doing, what's up, what's going on, how can changes be made? Because we've decided that we could try to help make that change just by showing a different voice, right? Not everyone is from the burbs, you know what I mean? And, you know, sort of maybe you could talk a little bit about your experience and what you've, maybe some leadership that you've taken, like you said, or maybe you've been asked.
Yeah, for sure. So first off, shouts to the many people that did reach out from all classes of race to find out first if, like, how I'm doing. That really means a lot to me. I think that shows a lot about your character if you can do that. Our general manager, Nelson Rodriguez, me and him talked first. You know, he explained. He just kind of put himself in a place of vulnerability, right? He understood that, wow, like, I was blind to it. It's like, maybe I chose not to see. I'm not sure, but, like, I want to know what I can do moving forward. And, you know, again, very, very amazing from our club, because their statement was not just like everybody else coming out. Oh, snap, like, this race thing, we've seen it this whole time, but we ain't said nothing. But we'll see something now.
Yeah. You know,
like, all right. He was like, nah, I don't want to do that. I want to make a pledge. He said, I want people to hold us accountable. Like, I feel like that's the only way there's going to be true change. And, you know, as I referenced the notes back there, I said, bet, I got some ideas.
You scrolled the notes out. You're like, well, let's go over the checklist, my guy.
I got some ideas. And again, that's where all that frustration and anger that I felt before just starts transmuting into an excitement for what's to come, because they listening now. That's how we feel. It's like, damn, they listening? Oh, snap. You know?
And it's like Christmas.
And undoubtedly, I'm sure somebody in this whole situation will try and swing for the fences. That is their right, man. 400 years? That, now we're talking oppression at the DNA level, you know?
Yep.
So it's not, when people are talking now, it's not just their experience. It's generations upon generations upon generations. And fortunately for me, like, that generational concept is something that I implement with Sacred Seeds. You know, we want to build communities that have skills and resources to enhance their way of living for generations to come. You know, so I feel primed and prepped to lead this movement, bro. Like, what a time. You know, you read it in the history books, all those pivotal moments in history, and to be able to definitely confirm now that we are living in the midst of that.
It does feel, you know, especially everything, it is, there's a change that has affected everyone. And when you, and it does feel like history, we're in a pivotal moment in history. So when there's people that are like, all lives matter, I'm like, bro, you've read the history books, you've seen the bad people, you're one of the bad people now. Right. What are you doing?
Guess which photo you're going to be in the history books, my dude? Like,
why you want to be on this side?
I still, it's actually easier, thank Lord for meditation, because the old me would have been coming at this a little different. But I have some compassion for those people, because at the end of the day, when your environment has showed you so much programming your whole life, and every single person that's part of either your family, your friends, your coworkers that lead to success, if they all doing the same thing, who are you to go against them?
Yeah.
You know? And while we were still screaming loud, like, still letting it be known, still showing the facts, you know, it was easy for some people to turn a blind eye, whereas now I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, and you had mentioned on the Instagram Live with Kai about, you know, kind of the, whether it's a blind spot or just a straight up kind of neglect from the league about, you know, either Black History Month or just acknowledging the contribution.
The league starts during Black History Month.
And CCO games and, you know, like, it's popping. Like,
yeah.
Yeah,
you got enough opportunity to mention it.
Yeah, and so I'm interested in and maybe you're already having these conversations of like how to kind of make change and you know, it, realistically, it isn't just about you know, kind of pandering to anyone, but it's you know, what I would love to see during Black History Month and generally throughout the league every year is an acknowledgement of the contribution of the Black player to Major League Soccer and how their contributions to the league and to soccer in general. So is there anything else that you would like to see or have you had conversations about what can be done to kind of improve that?
I mean, like I said, we're all every Black player in this league is well versed, and the Black History Month thing, it's a known thing amongst Black players on teams, right? Like a couple of years ago in Philly, we had a lot of brothers on the team, you know, and Black History Month, we're in preseason. MLS is posting all, you know, past highlights. This is coming. Oh, can y'all wait for this person to score this banger? And we're sitting here like, dang, can't get no love.
A hashtag. Like,
not even a fun fact. Like, bro. Just get all your little editorial, put 30 fun facts, make sure, you know, set the schedule, let it post, you know, and I say that jokingly, but fun facts can be very, that can bring a lot of knowledge, you know, somebody probably eating a peanut butter sandwich, watching seeing MLS on the news feed. Oh, George Washington Carver, invented peanut butter. It's like, oh, snap, Black man made this. Okay. Or, you know. You stopped at a traffic light. Black man invented that.
Yeah.
You know, like, why isn't it embedded within first? I mean, it's a systemic thing, right? So it's a big ask to ask these higher ups that have been doing it like this their whole life. But we can make that big ask to ensure that they invest in the grassroots level, right? Because that's the only way that the thinking is going to change.
Imagine how much that would mess up someone at a traffic light eating a peanut butter sandwich if they saw that. I mean, that would just blow their mind. They'd be like, no, dude!
Right? I think there would be different responses.
You know, this is definitely a difficult subject and news that came up just a couple days ago. But your former teammate, Alexander Katai, was released by the Los Angeles Galaxy after his wife had posted very racially charged, racist Instagram posts. You know, commenting on the protests. It's definitely a shock for us. But look, I think the, at least from my perspective, the fact that LA Galaxy acted so quickly and really listened to not just their fan base, but everyone else, I think it was a good sign. But what was your thoughts on the whole situation?
Man. Matter of fact, let me sip my tea.
Yeah, you need a moment to recenter.
No pun intended. No pun intended, right?
Bulletproof coffee.
Yeah. But sip your tea up.
All the tea, man. I'm not going to lie. I was looking at my phone screen like, because come on, man. Like, for real, this is the time you're gonna show your true colors, you know? And personally, if y'all want some juice, I've had my own experience with Katai himself. So seeing that from his wife all but confirmed what I had already known and what I had already experienced.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it feels good to talk about this because I came from Philly the last week of preseason. I went through all preseason with the homies in Philly at that time. And then boom, I'm traded. Go from 60, 65% Black locker room to like, literally, there's three Black guys on the team. And one's real light skin. you know. So.
Two and a half, you saying? That's messed up.
No, I'm not saying for him. I'm saying how it's viewed.
Okay, oh, okay.
You know, how it's viewed. When you got that dark skin, yo, y'all are black. Yo, how, what are you? You know, yeah. Like, but yeah, yeah. So being a minority and my, I mean, I'm on this new team. I'm just trying to show that I'm a worthy teammate and, you know, meeting everybody, trying to talk to people when I can. And I swear, Katai did not look me in my eyes for like the first 2 months I was there. Or I was on the team. And I'm like, the whole time, I'm just like, damn, like, you come across some players, in my experience, I've come across some players that they're just to themselves, they're reserved, they want to come in, train, go score some goals, get their check, call it a day. I know, I've seen those players, I know how to deal with them, I give them their space. But, bro, like, when we're in the game and I'm trying to communicate with you something so that we can collaborate better for the team, and you can't even look at me in my face, what's going on here? You know? And I had to stifle, because in my head, I'm like, don't be that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't be him talking about, black card this, black card that. So, I mean, I went to great lengths. I remember it got so bad that I went, because I swore this dude was not passing to me when I was in scoring positions. I mean, like, this man is at an impossible angle. I'm making a back post run. There's an open goal. He's trying to shoot it up for 90 from a 30-degree angle. Like, dude, I'm pulling up clips with coaches. Look at this. Look at these runs. What can I do better? Because I just want to hear the reaction. I want to hear the response. Yeah. What can I do better? Looking, and I'm not throwing anybody under the bus. And the response wasn't, oh, no, we don't see it. It was, damn, we see it. We don't know how to approach it. Maybe we know what it is. We don't know how to say it to you. I felt that energy off of, you know, I'm like, so, all right, I guess I'm just going to have to deal with this.
That's just insane, because it just feels like somebody's going to end up being like, oh, no, what you had to do was make a far post run, cut back in, be a white person, head it right in, and you all good. Why didn't you make that last adjustment? How
did you, when you were saying you were open, did you think about yelling all lives matter? And maybe he would have passed the ball to you?
It's just
but you know, it's my thing is I'm in those positions, I always try to practice self-control and self-awareness, and I stifled the feeling for so long. I pushed away that thought, and it was one game. I will never forget this game now, not just because of what happened at the time it happened, but because today, now what is going on, what recently came out in this situation, which is why I feel more empowered to speak about it as well. Mm-hmm. But typical, and Katai is a great soccer player. I think that's why he was allowed to get as far as he has with his attitude, period. That's it. It is what it is. And, and guys will vouch. They might not come on a podcast and say it, but they in the background like, yeah. You know, he does a bunch of players going down the line, and he's just inching up the end line. And I kind of lose my defender. I'm running near post. I'm right there. My man tries a chip past me to Nemanja Nikolic, who's trailing behind me. And ball barely gets there. Nikolic, like, kind of hits it, but doesn't really. But it was on goal. And it happened to go into the goal. Everybody's happy, right? But we're playing the replay in the team video, and like it was so blatant. I literally just looked to see if anybody would have a reaction, and it was. Yeah. I think it was one of my Latin brothers was like, "CJ, I guess you weren't open." I'm like.
You were social distancing. You were so open.
Just went through the rest of the video like nothing happened. I'm like, damn, all right.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? It just even you saying that stuff now, it just it almost doesn't. I could understand why people would be skeptical of even thinking that racism could even be a part of the scenario, because it's like it just sounds so crazy to be that you're even essentially you're sabotaging your own team, your career for that. Like, how could you even? It just seems like why bring that with you on the pitch?
Right,
you
know, for 90 minutes. Don't be racist, at least.
is that too much to ask?
But look, that's it. There's always somewhere that something went wrong before it got there.
Yeah,
right.
Why don't teams more extensively research who they're bringing in? You know, why is it that and a lot of it is the large gap in pay in MLS. I mean, the rules are just wild. Guys can be in this league for 10 years and just only go up 12%. A guy can come from somewhere else and make considerably more than them. And typically, there's a lot of situations that I've encountered where, I mean, if you're a guy that comes, you don't know a lot about MLS, you only got a year deal with an option maybe, but you get in a mill, you know, it's not as easy to integrate those people into groups of players that are coming out of college making $60,000, you know, but still starting next to this person, doing way more work than this person, training their ass off, staying after everybody says, oh, they're a good pro. But come game day, it's going to be the money man that's on the field. You know, so I think with Katai in particular, and he scored bangers, like this man can score some bangers, and it's just filthy skill. You know, and that's where it has to change. Why do we say just because he's good and he can score goals, he can be whoever the fuck he wants to be? You know, and it wasn't just a racist undertones. It was also other things as a teammate and in communication on the field. And these are things that are now affecting your team's overall output. Like, if you're just going purely business, that's, you got to rectify that situation. But
of course. All right. Welcome back. We are here with CJ Sapong of the Chicago Fire. And CJ, obviously, all the news, you know, I know after the tense CBA negotiations, and now, you know, some of that stuff has settled a little bit. I want to ask two things. How do you feel about the tournament and just playing competitive football again? And how do you feel about the... I've seen a lot of players publicly talk about that after the negotiations, they felt like, you know, it's going to be a difficult relationship to mend with the league. So how are you feeling about both of those things?
Yeah, I mean, so, okay. Yeah, so I would say it's hard to not take into consideration everything that's going on in America, because I've been part of different tense negotiations, and players always felt like basically we got taken advantage of. But this time was different because of also what was going on the outside. Players came back fit. I mean, the momentum at the beginning of the season was palpable. Like I could really feel like it was going to, you know, beast this great season. And, you know, we had already in February come to an agreement, I guess, the whole legal stuff. A bunch of players were like, what? You told us, you know, it was done with. We're playing soccer. And then for the league to first say, nah, we're not going to ratify that. That alone was huge. It was huge. And they used COVID as reasoning to justify. It's always, look at what the cuts that they're taking over here. MLB is taking this much of a cut. Da, 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 da. I'm like, bruh, we're not any of those leagues. We're a very different league. You got guys that, you know, if you play in New York, minimum salary doesn't mean you're living lavish. You know, you gotta know that money's coming in to even live. You know, so for them to use that kind of as an excuse for retracting the agreement and then adding onto all these other things while telling us we're going to do something that is not in our contract, which is go to another place during a whole pandemic, people leaving their families, people got children on the way, people got newborns. Like, dang, and it was not very well thought out, but the pressure was just put on us, you know, and ultimately we ended up having to take a stand, but that was so far down the road, bro. So that isn't gonna just go away. The whistle isn't gonna blow and guys is gonna go back to beating up on each other. We have become more banded as a group of brothers, and now the social injustice stuff. So like, the league is gonna definitely have to look at that relationship and start treating players as if they're major stakeholders moving forward. And that's for the betterment of players, league, coaches, staff, and this country and this world and humanity. If you can't now, after everything, you threaten to lock us out while there's protests in the street, bro, like, dang, you really showed you with that one. And so now moving forward, I mean, I'm excited to play soccer, but you know why I'm excited? Because it's a platform now that I can use for my voice, period. Like, it's a platform where I can find those channels to happiness, right? That release. But I'm literally now playing games to build the future, whether that's within myself, my community, my family. You know, obviously ain't nobody else really looking out. Well, that's how I felt, and I know a lot of Black players have felt. But now I think we'll get a little help. and if we don't, whew, good luck. Good luck moving forward. If in this time you're willing to do anything but say yes to, you know, every opportunity to grow as a species, of course, man.
Yeah. It is. You have to be. There has to be. You know, we've been seeing it sort of online with pretty much every every employer. There was somebody. There's a great comic. Her name is Z-Way. She works for Desus Samero, and she wrote a great tweet that said, Every employer is currently worried that every former Black employee will be honest about their work experiences.
Yeah.
So it's like, so
she also had the tweet that said, "I can't believe COVID lost a 28-3 lead to racism," which was beautiful. She is automatic. Wow.
So everybody has to kind of be aware of, like, when it comes to what feels like the future of, you know, what society agrees is going to be allowed and what is going to be okay, that we have to treat everyone fairly. So it's frustrating. And to be honest, at least for me, this was the first time I saw play. You know, I saw Jeff Lorenowitz. We had Andre Shinyashiki on, really talking about, you know, everyone was just not really happy. And was very honest about, like, this might take a couple years before we are, you know, again in good standing with
the league.
It's the
first time we heard players start their sentences with real talk. Yo, but on God, though, on God, like, it's kind of nice, like, to see, because we talk to a lot of players and it's like, you know, when the cameras are off and the mics are off, we hear some of the real stories about how they feel. And it's like, I just wish that if that got out, because the fans are behind you guys through and through, unless you're saying some wild shit on the internet. And bye-bye.
All right. Thank you again, CJ Sapong, for joining us, man. We really, really appreciate it.
It's amazing.
For, you know, being awesome, keeping it really real. We appreciate it. We need more of that in American soccer. So, CJ, is there anything you want to let people know before we sign off?
Just, you know, we're moving into a new age. I'm excited. I would love for anybody that's listening to reach out if they want to collaborate and be part of, you know, building a new future. You can follow at The Sacred Seeds. You can get on our website at thesacredseeds.org. Sustainable agriculture in urban areas. utilizing that nutrition, that education, that empowerment to build better people and build better communities. And I thank you guys for giving me a platform to speak. And I look forward to talking
to you. All right,
man.
Thank you, man. And make sure you follow CJ on Twitter, on Instagram. Big Africa 88, one of my favorite social media handles.
Africa with a K.
Okay, that's right. And make sure you follow at Fubo Sports. Subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel if you want to see full episodes. And at Taco Cooligans on all social media. So with that said, for CJ Sapong, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!